It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5. We're going to begin with the 13th verse. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. And so please open your Bibles to that book and chapter and verse, and we're going to have a wonderful study today. So please, that you just prepare for the study. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to call us, our phone number here at the church is 217-847-2717. If you would like to write to us here at the church, it's Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our websites, parkviewbiblechurch.org, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And so please that you would contact us, and you're going to find many messages of God's precious Word, our Constitution, the plan of salvation, everything is there. So please enjoy it. Hope that's a blessing to you. Now, please that you would also email us, if you would choose to, parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will work just fine. So I hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study, and let's begin reading the precious Word of God. Matthew chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after the reading. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come, enjoy this precious time together. Just guide and lead us, dear Lord, through your word today. I pray that our good works that you empower us to do, and that all those good works that are done only brings glory to you and not to ourselves. So please, dear Lord, that this be the time and this be the case that we can serve you and praise you in all that we do. Wonderful today to come together. I ask that you speak to the hearts of those that are saved and those that are lost, that we may not only grow and become more useful to you and more productive to you, but also, dear Father, that there would be many that would come by faith to you and be truly saved, be born again. Father, just please speak to all of our hearts this morning, this day. Just guide and lead us now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have looked at that 12th verse. We've enjoyed that 12th verse. Rejoice and be glad, exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, we have seen the persecution. We need to realize that happiness in our lives depends not on the circumstances, but the character that we have become. And the only way we can be established with a good, true, successful character is to know our Lord and Savior, to come by faith to Him, be born again, and let Him empower us and feed us and fill us with His power and His presence. And so please that we understand the great need of salvation, that we come by faith, are born again, and then begin that wonderful walk and that wonderful time of service and praise. And so please just enjoy that. we have now, when we look at these verses of Scripture, we are leaving because we went from rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So understand in the verse ahead of that, in verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. So, you know, do not let the persecution cause us to neglect the work that is given us by our Lord and King. And so, just because persecution comes, we need to stand and we need to rejoice and we need to praise the Lord. So we're going to be moving now from being persecuted for righteousness' sake as the prophets to ye are the salt of the earth. The persecution doesn't leave, but we are the salt of the earth. And it's so important that we understand what that means. And so no matter what, we must give our all unto the Lord for his service. Salt. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Let's take a good look at this. It's a wonderful study. We're going to go back into Genesis here in a minute with an example I think you'll enjoy. Salt prevents decay. You know, we think of it, when you get your meal and you put a little salt in it, or the one that's preparing it has put the salt and the spices and everything, and, oh, it just gives it such a wonderful flavor. But salt prevents decay. We do it for flavor. Here it's talking about preventing something. And that word decay is actually putrid, decomposed, rotten, corrupt, morally depraved. What a statement. And we have an example of that back in Genesis chapter 18. And so we're going to go back there and we're going to read about 10 verses. And I think that you're going to maybe see something that you've never seen before. Hopefully you have, but maybe this will be help you to see and to understand. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 18. I'm turning back there myself. I hope that you have enough time to do the same. Genesis 18, and we're going to begin reading with the 23rd verse. Genesis 18:23. Now, what we have here is Abraham and Sarah and a pre-incarnate Lord Jesus in the body of a man, looks like a man. And then we have two angels. That's who we have here that we're kind of dealing with here. And so let's just read a little bit ahead here so that you can see it. I wasn't going to read this much, but we need to understand what we're looking at. Genesis 18. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself towards them, and said, My Lord, if now I have had found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as he hath said. And Abraham hastened into the tent, and to Sarah said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a kef tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which had been dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the door, the tent door, which was behind him. And now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of a woman. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh? Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Remember, she laughed within herself, and yet the Lord Jesus heard it. And if is anything too hard for the Lord? And at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation. Remember, he hasn't had any children yet. And all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring unto Abraham that which he has spoken of him. The Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come up unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men returned their faces, the angels, turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Now here's where I really wanted to start, but I wanted to prepare you for the message that gives us a kind of an understanding of what's going on. So these three show up to the tent door. Abraham sees them, recognizes that one of them is none other than the Lord. And so he comes back in and he has Sarah prepare the meal and goes out and has a young man prepare the fatted calf, and they sat down and they ate. They did. Abraham stood as if he was a servant waiting on them. What a beautiful picture. We should do the same. We should be serving and waiting upon our Lord. And so we have that. And then they came for a purpose, and they came by the way of Abraham's tent. And the Lord said unto the angel, said, Should I share this with Abraham? What's going to happen? Well, what was going to happen? He was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. They were so wicked that he was going to destroy the cities of the valley. Well, here's what takes place then. Abraham drew near and said, verse 23, this is in chapter 18, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? That was a question Abraham had unto the Lord. Remember the reading of the scripture today? The salt. The salt, what does it do? It prevents decay. It stops the decomposition. It stops the something from rotting. It stops it from being corrupt. And here, in a spiritual sense, it stops it from being morally depraved. And so here we have this example here. And just stay with me so that you can see what I'm talking about. Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? That was a question. Pre-adventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? not to save the 50 righteous only, but to save the place. You see that? He's not going to destroy anything if there be 50 righteous. That was the question. Verse 25, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? That was the question Abraham approached the Lord with. The Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. Are you getting the concept of the salt, that how it preserves? Because in this mighty population, he is saying, if there's just 50 righteous, 50 born-again souls, I will not destroy the whole city. I won't destroy them at all if there be 50 righteous. Abraham answered, verse 27, and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Preadventure, there shall lack five of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of five? I mean, it was 45. And he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. Abraham returned again. He spake unto him yet again, said, preadventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Preadventure, there shall be 30 be found. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. We don't know the population, but I'm sure the population was a multitude of souls. And we have gotten ourselves down now to 20. If there be 20 righteous, the Lord said, I will not destroy the city. I will not do it. Verse 31, he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Preadventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy if 20's for 20's sake. And he said, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak yet but this once. Preadventure 10 shall be there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went away as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Now, the reason we know that the two other men, the three men that entered, because now we come to chapter 19, and there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them and bowed himself with his face towards the ground. There was two things. Number one, he was either in respect to them, or he was there because he was ashamed of the position and the place that he had taken. The result was, there was not 10 righteous souls. But the Lord had promised Abraham, if there be 10 out of, what, 50,000, 25,000, 100,000, we don't know how many people were in the cities of the valley and within Sodom there. But the Lord said, if there be 10 souls, 10 righteous souls would have preserved the city of thousands, saved them from an ultimate death and a casting unto the place of torment. 10 souls. If we don't think that the Christian has anything to do with sustaining this country, you're badly mistaken. You've heard people say, that if it's not going to be too long, God's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah because his total destruction of them, because there was not 10 souls saved, born-again Christians in that community. Undoubtedly, there must still be a larger remnant in this country, but we are going down quickly, and it is going to be a very sad, sad day. Everybody, the state and the federal government, and we have so many folks that want to lead us away from the Word of God. We even have churches today, and that's not a very good term to use, because a church cannot exist unless it is filled with born-again believers. That's the only thing that makes up a church, and yet we use that name for so many different. But they have went with different versions of the Bible that weakens the power of God. The negotiations between Abraham and the Lord Jesus, those negotiations got all the way down from 50 to 10. I think Abraham believed there were 10 souls in there. There was not. The only ones that came out of there was Lot and his two virgin daughters. That was it. That's all that left there. Everybody else was destroyed, including Lot's wife. Does that show you any condition that Lot was in? But Lot was saved. His two virgin daughters were saved. And they came out, even though they were living in that wicked community, yet God took them out before the destruction. That's going to be the same thing that takes place with the church. The rapture of the church. God takes all believers out before judgment comes upon this earth for that 7 years of tribulation. And so what a beautiful, beautiful picture we have here. And it was taken away. But the important thing is for us to realize in this text, in this scripture, is the salt. What takes place when a born-again believer is here? His or her very existence saves the community, saves the state, saves the country. And yet that old devil wants to kick out the very one that is preserving it, keeping it from decomposing, keeping it from being just plain old rotten, keeping it from being totally moral and depraved. That's what the presence of a true believer is doing in this land that we live in and in all the world. Why does the devil hate the presence, and the reason he wants to get every motion, every thought, every sign, every picture, every statement, anything, every Bible, everything that says anything or has anything to do with the presence of God, our Creator, with the joy of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, they want it gone, because he knows that as long as that presence is there, he is limited to what he can do. But when that presence gone, it is fair game for anything, anywhere, everyone. And so please, we need to sustain, we need to keep the church, born again believers in Jesus Christ. We hear so much today that, you know, we're just going a little different direction, but we're all, you know, we'll all end up in the same place. No, we won't, unless you're talking about hell. Because there's only one way to please the Lord God, and that is to come by faith to Jesus Christ, trust in him as your Savior, call upon him as the Spirit of God through the proclaiming of the Word of God will convict the heart, recognize you're a sinner, and say yes, and be born again. It is so important. So, sad to say, they could not find 10 righteous souls. If there would have been 10 righteous souls, that city, the thousands in that city would have been saved. Salt preserves from corruption and decay. Why in the world does anyone want to get rid of the presence of a Christian in our government? It's the only thing keeping us. It's the only thing preserving us. Our goal in life is to preserve mankind, save them from moral corruption and decay. And the only way that can take place is if they come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't realize there was so much in that verse, did you? Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt lost his savor, without the salt, this spiritual salt, the existence of believers, life cannot be sustained. It was lost in Sodom and Gomorrah. It'll be lost in this land as well if that old devil wins in shoving out and covering up and destroying the presence, keeping the gospel from folks, letting them be religious and yet not saved. You must be born again. If they be as they should, as good salt, it is white, it is small, it is broken into to very many, many grains, very small particles. That is when it's the most useful. That's when it does the most good. The salt that they would have at this time, during the time of the Lord Jesus, it was not pure as ours. It was what they call rock salt or sea salt, and there are many impurities in that. It didn't take much for it to lose its savor. Christians have the Holy Spirit and the flesh. It doesn't take much for the flesh to win out to where the salt, the testimony, the witness of the Christian is gone, loses its savor. What we should be is seasoned with the gospel, with the salt of grace, thoughts and affections, words and actions, all seasoned with grace. Colossians 4:6. Colossians 4:6. Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. There's four in there. We always enjoy those. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. Seasoned with salt. It preserves, it keeps. So you see, we've went away from persecution or being taken away or taken down by persecution. Instead of that, we are to be the salt of the earth. We should not let persecution to stop us or slow us down. Another statement here, and that is the salt. It needs to, you don't want a big heap. You don't want in one pile. It's too much. It must not be laid in a heap. It must not always be continually in Jerusalem. That's where the hub of the Jewish nation was. But it must be scattered as salt upon the meat, very lightly, very slightly. Here a grain and there a grain. As the Levites were scattered in all Israel, so wherever they lived, they communicated the gospel. It's the reason we're not supposed to have a monstrous church. We should have little church scattered everywhere, giving out the gospel. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?